Okay, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The surah is Surah An-Nisa. It's one of the third largest or third longest. In terms of words and ayah, I know it's got 176 ayahs, but in terms of words, it's probably next to Baqarah. But otherwise, you have Baqarah, Ali Imran, and Nisa. 176 ayat. The benefits of recitation. If you want to inspire love between people, recite it. I know it's long, but if you recited it and kept maybe a jar of water in your fridge, you could add a few drops into your water or your teapot or your kettle, whatever, every day, and it inspire love in a family. It's amazing. It's also safety from fear in the grave. The focus of the surah is a little different, because let me just first take you a little through history. So you see, you had the Battle of Uhud in 3 after Hijrah, and there's Abu Sufyan who had gone out to avenge. You all know the history of the Battle of Uhud. I'm just going to put bits and pieces. And when the Muslims were doing quite well until they disobeyed the orders of the Prophet, left the mountain pass, Khalid ibn Walid comes round the back, attacks them. There's 70 of them are killed, and I mean the morale is really low. So now after Badr and Uhud, especially after Uhud, you have a society in Medina where there's lots of orphans, there's lots of widows. It's a fractured society. It's quite broken up. Nobody knows quite knows what to do. And this surah basically is laying down the foundations of this society, of an Islamic society. You'll find a lot of fiqh here, which you'll also find there's a lot of connection between belief. Manifestation of belief is literally in the stability of the family unit and into social ethics. Everybody thinks belief is just praying, fasting, whatever, but you'll see how this surah changes it. And those of you who did Ayatul Birr with me, you know how the first thing after Iman was not the Aqamu Salah wa Atu Zakah. It was well before that, how you looked after everyone else. And this surah comes out like that. It's probably has over 60 ayat or about 60 ayat on hypocrisy. So if I could put it in a nutshell, you find, maybe I can put it in the way I've written it down, you find social, legal issues, but they're all linked with hypocrisy. If you are looking at one major thing here, it's looking at the foundation of an Islamic society. It's looking at social ethics in an Islamic society and how important that is. Everything else takes second place. So we're going to start with it. So 7 sections. The first section is probably what we'll be able to manage today, which is Ayah 1 to 35. And here you find family law. You find the status of women in society. That's why it's called Nisa. You find there is a bit about Mahar. So it's that gift of love that validates Nikah. It's called Sadukat. It talks about the indecent behaviors in a relationship. It talks about mahram relationships and then inheritance and repentance. That's section 1. I'm not sure we'll be able to do any more than that. So we're going to start with section 1. So in our heads, again, I'll go over this again. The moment you think Nisa, you're looking at social ethics. When you're looking at social ethics or the foundation of Islamic society, it starts with the family. If you're looking at the family, it is the woman who does the basis of that family. It's like Rumi said, what one throws down, the other nurtures. He says, the heaven is like the man, and the earth is like the woman. But one just throws things down, the other makes it nurture and grow and builds it. So the stability of a family is based on the woman, and that's what's called Nisa. And you come across it all the time through here. So let's start out with Ayah 1. I'll go Ayah by Ayah. It might be a bit tedious, and I apologize for that, but we've got to do this. Ya ayyuhan nas, O human beings, ittaqu rabbakum, be God conscious of your Rabb. And then it says, who your Rabb is? Alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. He created you from one soul, from one nafs. That's what he created you. So when he says there is an equity, we're part of a single source, as such. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and from this source was your spouse or your partner as such. وَبَثَّ مِنْهَا, and then from both of them, رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً, lots of men and lots of women. And then he goes again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, so taqwa comes again. Now where does that taqwa come? In the first place, there was only taqwa without Allah. Here it is, ittaqullah. So we got conscious of Allah, Alladhi tasa'aluna bihil arham. So basically what they're saying, be God conscious when you ask each other or when you demand a right from each other, responsibilities of each other, which are always to do with arham, with the rahm, with the womb. It's immediately focusing on the mom. All your relationships are through the womb. All your and my relationships start with the womb. And then he says, Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Allah is raqib. Raqib is somebody who is able to control you. Somebody who is able to direct you, control you.
Next.
In the Arabic language, raqib is when you hold an animal by its neck and then you sort of move it around. I mean, we see dogs here. This country is ideal to see raqib. When you see a dog walker and you see the leash that he or she has on the dog, they can direct that dog through that leash. You can either give it space or you can pull it back or whatever you want to do, you can do with that. So that basically the moment you see Raqib, think of that dog walker. So the first manifestation in this of taqwa is how you deal with your relationships, how you respect the womb that bore you. There's a wonderful hadith of the Prophet which says, the first thing you ask somebody when you want to marry them is about their parents. So you ask people how they treat their parents. And if they do not treat their parents correctly, then run away from them like lamb run away from wolves. Because if you cannot respect the womb that bore you, how are you going to respect any other person in your life? Okay. So this is the first thing. Second manifestation. وَعَاتُ الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. Give the orphans their property. Because you see now, a lot of orphans are created, but that's for me and you as well. Second manifestation, give orphans their rights. And that doesn't mean the rights that we may think are only of their property. Their rights are from our property as well. وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُ الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ. Don't change worthless things for their good ones. So when you are giving to charity in your black bags, don't put stuff that you don't like. Put stuff that is wearable. And if you put stuff that is wearable, don't stuff it in, fold it, iron it, as you would like it to be given to you. So, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Don't mix up their property with yours. Don't take it as an addition by claiming that, you know, well, I'm looking after them, so I'll keep this as well. إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُوبًا كَبِيرًا. Hub is awful. It's like a crime that is great. So it is a great responsibility to look after stuff that belongs to somebody else. Then, so now you're looking after orphans. These people were living in a place where there was nobody to look after their orphans. Now you imagine, this is historical, but it's also with us. He says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ. If you're scared, أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَ. That you cannot be comprehensively just to these orphans. فَانْكِحُوا. Then do nikah with them. This is the ayah of polygamy, by the way. فَانْكِحُوا. Do nikah with them. مَا تَابَ لَكُمْ مِنْ نِسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثَلَاثَ وَرُبَى. This is the ayah of polygamy, which the original context was, if you cannot take care of orphans just by looking after them, then marry them so they become part of your household. Do nikah with them. But we've misused, I don't want to go into all the misuse of this ayah, but this ayah has been misused completely. You know, this was talking about taking care. Remember, there were so many were to be looked after. فَإِنْ خَفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And then if you fear that you can't do adl, and I'll explain the difference between adl and kist, between them, فَوَاحِدَةٍ. Then just one. Then just marry one. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And obviously those were, أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ, was at that time the slaves that they owned. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. That is better for you than taking more than you deserve. So, the eye of polygamy that is always quoted is an eye of protection, number one. Number two, qist is like comprehensive justice. You know, when somebody is preparing a case, they have a long dossier before that. So they have a dossier in which they will take all the witness records, they will take all the everything, accountability of everything, and then they will present a case. That's what paralegals do in a law firm. right? So this is skist is when there is a comprehensive justice. Adil is to make a fair judgment. Okay, so adil and kist are two different things. Kist is far more intense. So here it's saying, if you cannot intensely be fair to them, then marry them. And if you can't do justice between both of them, then all of them, then just marry one, because you won't be able to deal with it. وَآتُوا النِّسَى, and give women, صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ, big difference between sadaqa and saduqa. Sadukat is what sanctifies nikah. That's mahar. That's sadukat. So give nisa their sadukat. Nihla. Nihla is a gift of love. So give them their mahar as a gift of love. But for intibna lakum an shay'in minhu nafsan, if they want to give some to you, fakuluhu, you know, take it, eat it, haniyam mariya, enjoy it. Mari is your esophagus. So Haniya Maria is that don't feel bad about it. Don't feel guilty about it. Our ulama say that if you do not need your mahar, then divide it into three. One third, give it back to him. Because that is like you gifted him one third, which is according to this ayah. Okay? One third, use for shafa. So that one third, buy honey, give people honey or whatever. Give them some money towards their medication. And the other third, give it to people who need to invest it in their business, because this saduqat, this mahar, this ni'la, this gift of love has so much barakah in it. So this is part of the ayah that's used as giving it to them, you know, forgiving them. Or when you say forgiving them, it's actually gifting it back to them. And the nice way to gift it back to a husband is to be able to get something that both the couple would enjoy and wouldn't feel guilty about. So maybe a trip to the Bahamas, or not now, but I don't know. Whatever, okay. Ziyar, I don't know. Not in these times, okay, when you can travel. Okay. وَلَا تُعْتُوا السُّفَهَا أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Don't give your money to foolish people. In other words, to those who cannot manage it. Don't just give it away. Be careful of what you're doing. This goes in a lot of different sections. So the Mufassirin have talked about it in lots of different ways. Sometimes people leave tons of money to their children, not realizing that they will make their children really lazy. Because if you do not have to work for your money, then you become a different individual. So you will see most of the phenomenal human beings in this world, even forget about, I'm not looking at just Muslims, I'm looking at the non-Muslim world. I mean, read people like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or whatever, and they will tell you that is the worst thing that you can do to a child. Okay. So anyway, here, وَلَا تُعْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Don't leave those who cannot manage it, who have weak understanding, money. أَلَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. And then maintain them, but maintain them. So say, for example, I had somebody who couldn't manage money. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean I don't maintain them. It means I have to keep them afloat. But it doesn't mean I overwhelm them with money. وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا, obviously give them sustenance from it. وَكْسُوهُمْ, make sure you clothe them. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, but speak to them respectively. So if it is their money, even if it is, if it is money that you think is due to them, whether it's your children or your family members, doesn't mean you rebuke them. Still maintain respect when you talk to them. The detail of this is phenomenal. وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النَّكَاحَ. Now, when these orphans whose money you have, whom you are looking after, when they come to a stage where they are able to be independent enough to marry, then first test them. See if they can manage their money. Don't just say, now you're 18 and now you're 21, yeah, all this money is yours now. They won't know what to do with it. So test them. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا. And if you find them, رُشْد, if you find that they're mature enough, فَدْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ, return all their money to them. That which you were looking after, give it all back to them. Very many times, and you think it might not concern us, but it does. When lots of brothers are in a business, or lots of siblings are in a business, and one of the brothers dies, or one of the mothers dies, or whatever, you find the other brothers think, I'm going to look after this business, and I won't give the children money yet, I will maintain them. And then when the children grow up, there is so much of a mixture and a kichra of everything, they don't know what to do. I know a family that had a father who died, who only left daughters. And the brothers in the business said, we can't give this money to the daughters because it will go out of the family. And it caused so much of a kafafa. So this actually talks to all of us. And it says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا. And then don't overspend. Don't do israf. That means don't say, these are my management expenses for the years I looked after you, and take more than you should. وَبِدَارًا أَنْ يَكْبَرُوا. Oh my goodness. So don't hurry up. Bidar, don't hurry up. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't think, you know, I've been doing so much for them and I deserve all this. Because sometimes in human beings convince themselves that they're doing so much. And don't big yourself up. Yakbaru is don't big yourself up. وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًا. If you are rich, if you have enough money, فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ. If you are wealthy, then even protect yourself from spending their money. Don't touch it at all. It's only if you don't have it that you should be able to use of it. وَمَنْ كَانَ فَكِيرًا. But if you are in need, فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Be very careful how you spend that money. Be reasonable. فَإِذَا دَفَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. And when you give over the property, فَأَشْهِدُوا. Make sure you have a witness. Have a contract. فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. But Allah is always a witness. So basically it's saying, when you're dealing with money, be ever so careful. When you have taken responsibility for somebody's money, be careful. It's not yours. Don't make excuses. When your brother has left behind orphans, make sure you're careful about how you deal with it. When your sister, whatever. Because Allah is going to be the major auditor here. He knows what's happening. Okay, next one. لِلْرِجَالِ نَسِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ. Men shall have a portion of what their parents have left behind, والأقربون, and their relations. وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَسِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. This was a major thing in the Arab world, because there was equality in inheritance. Before that, only men inherited. Even in this country, many, many years ago, you couldn't have a bank account without your husband's permission. You couldn't move out your money out of a joint bank account without your husband's permission. It's all changed. I mean, this is the country, or this is the culture that taught us to be called Mrs. Somebody. You will always remain the daughter of your father. In the Arab world, you were never... said Fatima to Zahra was Fatima bint Muhammad. She was never Mrs. Ali. Although she was, but I mean, she had a right to be called that, because he was. But this is the country that taught us that we had no value unless we were moved from one to the other, to the other, right? So it's really important to understand. This says now they have a portions of what they send, whether there is little or much. He says, mimma taraka alwalidan walakrabun, mimma qalla minhu aw kathur. Doesn't matter how much it is. It doesn't mean that it's only men who inherit. Nasibam mafruza. And the proportion, Allah has actually stated what it is. Now talk about the other ulama as we come across, and you'll see different thinkings. Wa idha hadhara alqismat. Now, when there are present at the qisma, you know, qisma is to separate, right? Qisma is to distribute. So now imagine in your head that you're in a lawyer's office, and everybody is sitting there waiting for the will to be read, right? This is what's happening. So that's your picture that you have. Ulul kurba, wal yatama, wal masakin. All the relatives are there, the yatim, the orphans are there as well, and the masakin. See, people have heard this person has died, and they're really close, you know, they sort of, they know that person thing. Maybe they might have left something for me. Not only that, maybe what they have left the relatives, because it is money that they didn't earn, as in such, you didn't go work hard for it, you got it. So maybe the masakin may think that these people might give me something. So now imagine everybody sitting there. Outside there's a crowd of miskeen waiting for you to come out because they know you're going to get some inheritance. Farzuqu, Give them a bit of what you've got. Minhu وَقُولُ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Speak to them kindly and mercifully. Don't say, hey, run away. This is not your money. This is my money. I got it from my great-great aunt and now I'm going to keep it. Share it. It's not yours. It's yours to share. And then he says, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. Now, those who fear, let those who fear, so this is those who are God conscious, in other words, should they leave behind, لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضَعِيفًا, ذُرِّيَّةً ضَعِيفًا. So if they left behind children who needed more help, خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَكُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Let me explain this. So now you are in this meeting, number 8, ayah 8. And you shooed away all the people who asked you for a bit of money. They said, oh, your mom left you so much, your dad left you so much, your children left, whatever. They left you so much. Could you give us a little bit? And you say, no, it's mine, go away. So Allah here is telling you, imagine you leaving behind a child who is weak, who doesn't have any money. And they went to somebody to ask, and those people shooed them away. How would you feel? He's putting the guilt trip into me and you. How would you feel? You would feel so bad. So he said, careful of what you're doing. You know, فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Have taqwa. And speak to them with words that will fill their holes in their hearts. When somebody comes to ask you, it's because they've got a hole in their heart. It's hurting them. It's not easy. So he's saying, when you speak to them, fill the cracks inside them. Sadida, you will see in Suratul Sabah. You know the dam. It talks about the dam in between the two rivers. The dam that broke and flooded the two gardens. Remember, Sadda is a dam. Sad is a dam that stops. It actually fills the cracks. So when you're talking about Qawlan Sadida, is words that you fill them. Say you didn't have any money. Then you're saying, look, I just don't have any, but talk to them nicely. Don't say run away. Okay, ayah 10. So I call ayah 9 the guilt trip. Ayah 10, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَعْقُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى. Those who eat the wealth of orphans. And this is really important to understand. ظُلْمًا, they are so unjust. إِنَّمَا يَعْقُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Inside them, inside their stomachs is fire. وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. And they'll be thrown in the fire. So in other words, they are in fire outside and inside. Now, inheritance law. يُوسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Allah makes you, gives you the wasiya about your children. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ هَذَّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. A young man will have twice the portion of the female. And the ulama tell us, I'm not a faqih, I'm just going to give you what the ulama tell us. They tell us that the woman inherits from her father, she inherits from her husband, she will inherit as a mother. There are lots of things she will inherit from, right? And she is maintained by her father and husband. We'll come to what the ulama say in a minute. فَإِنْ كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْكَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلَاثَ مَا تَرَكْ. And if there are two females, they will have two-thirds of what the person who died left. If there is one, I'm not going to go over the whole thing. In fact, I'm going to leave this for you to know. This is inheritance law, right? Let's go right at the bottom. لَا تَذَرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا. You do not know who is going to be useful to you. You don't know who prays for you. Allah knows better. فَرِيذَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This is a farida. This is mandated from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Fiqh laws about inheritance, you have to follow. You know, and I speak to the senior citizens, they leave this jewelry behind and they say, this is for this and this is for this. This is all included in your estate. If you want to give something away, give it in your lifetime. Otherwise, you can only give one third. That's it. Many people have taken stuff and it doesn't belong to them. So it's really important to understand this. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of, for example, Sayyid Sana'i. Sana'i died last week, 12th, I think, a little while ago. For example, most jurists will tell you that a woman doesn't inherit from her husband's lands and estates. She only inherits from the price of the building structure. Sani believed that she inherited from the land, just like a husband inherits from the wife's land. Jurists believe that if a wife dies and her husband is her only heir, he inherits all her money. But if a husband died and his wife is his sole heir, she inherits one quarter of his wealth. Rest goes to the same imam. Sani believed that she inherits all that money as well. So the ulama have looked, because remember, this is a structure. Then they've now looked at how things are now. Women at that time didn't bring any money into the household. They didn't contribute anything. This was different. So I'm not going to go through the polemics, but you must read all the ulama and see what they say. So fiqh laws here, this is a law, but the laws are obviously subject to times as well. Okay? Please read them. Don't just think it's just the way that you look at it. Again, the next ayah, which is ayah 12, is inheritance law. I'm not going to go over that. You can read it. The fiqh laws will describe it probably. There's no point going into each bit, how much a child will get. And most of you know this. If you don't, we can do a separate fiqh session on inheritance law. Okay, so this is inheritance law. And I can go through the various maraji who say different things and we can talk about it. But basically, if I can give you very, very basic, all you and I need to do, first of all, you and I have to have a will. The Prophet said, he's not of us who dies without a will. And you might think you have nothing, but adding up all your clothes and books and stuff might be something. But all you and I need to know is that we can only bequeath one third. That's it. Khalas. You can't do anything else. You can write in your will that pay my debts and one third. The other two-thirds, Sharia sorts out itself. Whichever maraja you follow, will sort out that two-thirds. So make sure in your will you write down one-third to go to this. Khalas. You can't do any more. Nothing. And that includes everything. Jewelry, clothes, half your house, I don't know, whatever you own. All included in that. Okay? So if you were to follow Sani, for example, land would be included as well. If you weren't, it's different. Depends which maraja you follow. Okay, so that's inheritance law. Ayah 13. تِلْكَ هُدُودُ اللَّهِ These are Allah's limits. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ Whoever, and remember we talked about ita' in bare minimum, whoever follows Allah and His Messenger, is خِلْهُ جَنَّةٍ تَجْرِ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ Enter into Jannah, which has rivers. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا I love this separation and this in ayah 14. خَالِدِينَ is plural. So this Jannah, will be lots of people, like Zoom, lots of people, okay? You'll be in the mosque. You won't be alone. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ And that is a great achievement, to have a community together. Can you imagine living in this massive mansion all on your own? Imagine living in Jannah all on your own. I mean, how many rivers of honey and milk are you going to drink? You feel sick. And on your own, what are you going to do? Nothing. This is, I think Zilat was just saying, she's dying to get back to the mosque and hug people. So ayah 13 says, fairness, being just, reward is Jannah, obedience is Jannah, and the joy of Jannah is to be with people. Why? Look at ayah 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ The one who disobeys Allah, وَرَسُولَهُ and His Messenger, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودُ And goes above and beyond the limits. That means cross the lines. يُدْكِلْهُ نَارًا We will enter him in the fire. نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا On loneliness. So, in essence, it's telling me, injustice is loneliness. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ And it's a painful punishment. Forget about the fire. There's a different thing altogether. The loneliness in itself is really, really painful. You know, in lockdown, we've realized that. We may have loads of YouTube videos. We could all become marajis. We could all become scholars if we learned them, right? You could learn every language in the world. I mean, YouTube, have you imagined the amount of majlis? One day in Ashraf Zainabiyah, there's about six. You don't know what to pick, right? But the greatest thing about being able to visit the mosque and go is people, is that company. Even Zoom, it's company. You see all these people. Oh, I can't handle it when I don't see faces. But anyway, but when you see them, okay, it's just amazing, isn't it? Okay. Okay, you can leave yourselves off if you're in your pajamas. I'm quite good. Okay. Next one. 15 واللاتي يأتين الفاحشة من نسائكم. Now, if you find in your women indecent behavior, فاستشهدوا علينا أربعة منكم. And this indecent behavior must be witnessed by four people. No, not that you take a picture and put it on social media so thousands of people witness it. That's not what it's talking about. You wouldn't do that anyway. Okay? This is talking about when four people, and you'd be really stupid to do something that was indecent where four people are watching you. I mean, you can't get stupider than that. So if you're stupid enough to do that, so he said, فَهِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ. I'm going to go into each of this because this is used in such stupid ways. Anyway, so he says, so if there was this witness, then you will leave them in their houses. That means they will be under lockdown. They'll be confined to their houses. حَتَّى يَفَّهُنَّ الْمَوْتِ. Until they die. أَوْ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Or Allah will find a way for them. I'm going to go with this one through each bit. Let me just get to the ayah. Just 1 second. Okay. So, for those who are guilty, and there are four witnesses, then confine them to their houses until death takes them or Allah opens some way for them. In other words, don't display them outside. Don't let other people bring a culture of accusing them. Protect them in your house. Even if there were four witnesses. Even if they were that stupid. Respect them. We tell the next person possible. Here it says no. Okay? So the first stage of an intimate relationship discipline is to be able to leave them in their house, not get them access to other people so nobody can point fingers at them. وَالَّذَانِ يَعْتِيَنَا مِنْكُمْ فَعَاذُهُمَا. And those who are guilty of something indecent, but فَإِنْ تَابَ, they did tawbah, they turned back. وَأَصْلَحَ, and they amended their ways. فَأَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُمَا, then you know what? Leave them alone. Leave it. It's okay. Don't keep on going on at them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Even Allah accepts tawbah. You can turn towards Him and He is merciful. So even if they had done something stupid, leave it. If they did tawbah, they told you tawbah and they've changed their ways, leave it. And then, oh, I love this. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَتِي. So, tawbah is accepted from Allah for those who did evil in ignorance. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't know. They knew they were doing something wrong, but they got overwhelmed with their emotions. They got carried away. When we get angry sometimes, we know anger is wrong. Gossip, we know gossip is wrong. I'm not even going to the difficult bits. I'm going to the little things. We know all that is wrong. But we will still sometimes get angry. He says, if you did that with jahalati, ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ, and then you did tawbah soon, like straight after you realized and you did tawbah, فَأُولَيْكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah will turn mercifully towards them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Again, He knows and He is wise. Can you imagine somebody doing something wrong to us? Oh my goodness. We may forgive them. Forgiveness is not saying that I forgive you. But then, and if they did it again, we remind them again. I repeat this many times with children. If you've forgiven somebody, bury it in the deepest of oceans and put a sign up, no fishing. You don't say, remember the other time you did that? That's exactly what he's doing to me. And then he says, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Tawbah is not for the one who keeps on doing evil deeds. يَعْمَلُونَ, it's not fail, it's amal. It intentionally goes on and on and on. حَتَّى إِذَا حَذَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Until death comes to them. قَالَ, and then they say, إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. Now I am doing tawbah. وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. And Allah says, hello, that doesn't work. And those who die while they're still covering up the truth, أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And for them there is a painful punishment. So tawbah at death, like at the point of death, is not accepted. Especially if I'm doing something again and again, thinking that at the time of death I'm going to do tawbah. That's in my head. And then he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُ النِّسَاءَ كَرْحًا. Do not take women against, do not inherit women forcibly. Historically, it was because children would inherit their father's wives, the father's other wives. Okay, that was historical. But it's telling you and me as well, don't force women to get married. Don't. You can't force them against their will. Karhan, you can't. And then, وَلَا تَعْذَلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْحَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُهُنَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ فَاحِشَةً مُبَيِّنَةً. And then when you gave them stuff, if you gave them something, don't force them to give it back to you unless they openly humiliated you by doing something indecent. You can't do that. Then he says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with your women decently, in decency. Ashir is to be able to live with somebody, to, you know, in Swahili we say isha, tunaisha hapa, okay? We live here. You mean we live happily here. Live with them properly, respectively. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ. And if you find that you don't like them suddenly, you know, sometimes you suddenly develop an aversion for someone. This works both sides, okay? فَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Maybe you don't like something, وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. But Allah has put into that person a lot of khair. There's a lot of good in there. Incidentally, many jurists have very strict rules granting a wife for divorce. Ayatollah Sani believed that if a wife asked for a divorce, and she said, what I've asked for my mahar, I don't want my mahar, I give it back to you, he has no right to refuse the divorce, and he cannot no longer make her stay with him. You didn't know that, did you? Well, you could read all the rules of them, okay? Just one that you might know. Many jurists don't let women become maraji or judges. Sani said they could become religious authorities or judges because rational people refer to specialists in spite of their gender, and this practice was approved by the imams. I'm giving you just some different viewpoints, because sometimes we're so closed in into our head, we only know one viewpoint, right? Read a lot of viewpoints. Okay, ayah 20. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ. And if you want, irada, when you want to. You want to, أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ. You want to replace your wife because you want nawi and nani now. Okay? Sorry. You want a new one and a younger one. You want to replace one wife with the other. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِهِدَاهُنَّ قِنْتَارًا. And you gave this one that you first loved everything. You signed off everything in her name. You gave everything to her. فَلَا تَأْخُذُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. You can't take anything back. You just will not. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. How can you do that? You cannot take it back. That is an open sin. That is awful to do. You just cannot take anything back. Oh, you're all looking at me as though, what's going on? This is Quran. It's not even anybody reading out of any laws, right? وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ. How can you take it back? وَكَدْ أَقْذَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. When you had shared secrets. I know your translation says, I don't know what it says, okay? How could you, when you know each other so, you know, I would put it differently. How can you take it back when you had pillow talk? When that was the only person you were totally comfortable with. You know, you're not even that comfortable with your parents as you are with your spouses. right? So you were totally comfortable with them. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاكًا غَلِيظًا. And you had taken this covenant, this firm, how can I say it, this intense covenant with them. And now you want everything back. What's wrong with you? You wanted Nawi and Nani. She didn't. You gave it all to her when she was Nawi and Nani. Sorry, Nawi and Nani means new and young, okay? So when she was new and young, you gave it all. Now you want it back for the next one. La, la, la. That's never going to happen, okay? All right. وَلَا تَنْكِهُوا مَا نَكَحَ أَبَاكُمْ. Do not marry the woman whom your father's married. مِنَ النِّسَى. This was done at that time. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. What has already gone has gone, okay? إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. This is awful. This is really, really awful, right? فَاحِشَة is like, I'm going to try and find you a better translation. فَاحِشَة is like wahash. Wahash is like animals. This is animalistic behavior when you do that. وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. مَقْت is, again, something that is awful, absolutely awful. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and it's an evil way to do. So you don't do that. And then this is the ayah, ayah 23, is the ayah of mahram. حرمت عليكم أمهاتكم وبناتكم وخواتكم وعماتكم وخالاتكم. And you probably have all known this. You know who you're not allowed to get married to. You can't have any intimate relationships with them. They are mahram. It's quite easy. You also have those who have nursed you, their children or their daughters as well, the mothers of your wives, your stepdaughters. Maybe you could look at the end bit. You cannot marry two sisters at the same time. And then when he says, except that that is already passed, just like the other ayah, then some of us would say that's only for the sisters. But for anything else, if you ever thought about mothers or daughters or sisters, or that is definitely not out there at all. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ is only for the sisters. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah is غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And then obviously, وَالْمُحْسِنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. All married women. Muhsinat is protected women. Either they're already married or they are looked after in a family. But here it's talking about married women. So you can't marry married women. إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Now this talks about those women who in pre-Islamic in the battles, even during Islam, when they had left their, for example, they had left the Makkans and they had come to Medina. We talked about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And they'd left their husbands completely, didn't want to go back because they had believed. So, إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Those women who were married but have left their marriages. كِتَابَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. That is Allah's written order as such. وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِينَ. So, now you're getting married to them just because they have come away from, they've left their marriages. You cannot just treat them as second-hand citizens, second-class citizens. You still have to be able to give them the right amwal, all right, or the right wealth as such. Muhsinin gaira musafihin. Muhsinin means they are from good families. Gaira musafihin, they are not doing anything that is wrong. فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ. Now this is the eye of muta, by the way, which people seem to disagree on, or some faiths disagree on this. So, فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ, if you have performed muta with them, فَآتُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيدًا, make sure you give them their due. وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا تَرَاضَيْتُمْ. There is no blame on you if you have mutually agreed بِهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ الْفَرِيدَةِ. And this mutual agreement, it could be a time, could be anything after what is agreed. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Again. So, maybe I can reverse this to get it together. You cannot marry married women. if there are women who have come from marriages where they have left their marriages because of religion and they've come in and you are now going to marry them, you will not see them as second class citizens. You will make sure that you will marry them lawfully and give them their mahars. And if you are in a relationship with his muta, you must be able to give them their due as well. And it is according to what you both have agreed. And Allah is knowing and wise. There are a lot of responsibilities when it comes to looking after women. Most of our community have this system of muta when people get engaged, because they are making it halal as such in the eyes of Allah before nikah. I find that often. I'm not sure why they don't perform nikah, but that's something else altogether. So muta is sort of, well, now it's halal in the eyes of Allah. Well, that halal period has also a lot of responsibilities. It can't just be taken very lightly. All right, next one, ayah 25. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِئْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمُحْسِنَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. So you don't have the means to marry someone. Now here, muhsinat is about a woman who is in a protected family and who's a believer. You don't have the means to marry them, because people who are from good protected families will require, but here it's talking about those who can't afford it. So they can't afford it. فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. So now, he will marry from those whom your right hands possess, those who came back as slaves. مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. But from those who are believing. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِكُمْ. Allah knows your iman. He knows why you can't do them. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. فَانْكِهُوهُنَّ بِإِذْنِ أَحْلِهِنَّ وَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Marry them with the permission of those who own them and give them the right mahar as such. But then it says, Muhsinat ghayra musafihat. They should not be doing anything that's wrong. Remember, at that time, people who came in as slaves did not understand the moral values that Islam had. So to them, it didn't matter if they married, you know, if they went out with a few boys or girls or whatever there was. They didn't have that. So Allah is making very clear, when you marry, you are out there to start a family. Make sure even the slaves that you marry understand what belief is all about. I know when I lived in East Africa and I had some maids there, I mean, one of the maids had four children, all from four different fathers, and they did not see that as wrong. They just didn't see that as wrong. To them, that was okay. They just wanted children. So it's a different culture. Okay? I'm not in any way condoning it. All I'm trying to say is that this is what Quran is trying to say. When you are marrying someone, the idea is to start a family. So make sure there is decency here. وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ فَإِذَا أَحْسَنَّا فَإِنْ آتَيْنَا بِفَاهِشَةٍ فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفَ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. So when they're taken in marriage and then they do something indecent, then because they have not understood it, then their punishment is only half of what would be from a person who's from a believing family. Because they haven't understood. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ الْعَنَةُ مِنْكُمْ. Okay? So this is for those who fears, who's scared, خَشِيَ, who's really scared of falling into harm, of losing their character. But if you can wait, خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. So if you can wait to marry somebody decent, then wait. Allahu ghafoorun raheem. Then Allah is forgiving and merciful. But if you can't wait and you have to marry one of these people, then make sure that they understand what they're doing. And then even after they don't understand the moral code and they went astray, their punishment is half of what is for those who have understood a moral code. It is so detailed. Right, next one. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَحْذِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Allah wants to explain to you and guide to you into the ways of those before you. So He wants to tell you, this is what they did. You need to understand. وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And He turns to you so mercifully, Wallahu, again and again and again, Wallahu alimun hakim. Allah knows and Allah is wise. So you had all those instructions, and then it's telling you, what does Allah want from you? Can you see that? Those are instructions. So now ayah 26, 27 and 28. Whatever you see, yuridullah, that's what Allah wants. Allah wants to guide you. He wants you to understand. He wants to turn to you mercifully. Then again he says, wallahu yuridu, Allah wants, an yatuba alaykum, that he should turn towards you. Wa yuridu alladhina yattabi'una ash-shahawat, and that those who follow, those who wish to follow their shahawat. Shahawat is, hawa is your temptation. Shahawat is a strong temptation. Antamilu maylan adhima. Not only those, let me just, Allah wants to turn to you mercifully. But those who follow their shahawat want you to turn away from Allah and go towards what they are doing. They want you to obey your temptation. Wants come before everything. They tell you it's all about you. You. It's not about anything else. You must first look after yourself. Very subtly, you and I are told. First look after yourself. You. Forget about everybody else. I'm not saying don't look after yourself. What this is saying is when you always worry about I, then things get a bit funky. Okay. And then he says, وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ, again. Why is he doing that? Because every time we say, these laws are so difficult. He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُكَفَّفَ عَنْكُمْ. He wants to make light your burdens. He wants to remove your shackles. Because customs, cultures, temptations, all shackle you down. He wants to make your life easier in the dunya and the akhirah. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Because the human being is created weak against his temptations. In Dua al-Kumail, oh my goodness, Ra'if comes up so many times. And he says, Ya Allah, you put me in the fire. I mean, I'm so weak, I can't even manage the difficulties of the world. How am I going to manage the difficulties of the akhirah? And even if you put me in the fire, I'm just going to shout out that I love you very much. Okay. If you can keep on remembering that, that's it. This is a good one. Okay. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. La ta'kulu amwalakum bainakum bil batil. Do not eat your property amongst yourselves falsely. Don't cheat your taxes. Don't do that. Don't take extra. La ta'kulu amwalakum bainakum bil batil. Don't do that. And we think we're not part of this. So don't do business with lies. Just don't. Don't trick people. Illa an takuna tijaratan an taradhim minkum. Except what you have done business where you both agree. Where there is a win-win solution. It's got to be win-win. It can't be, oh, I've now reduced, I've got the upper hand. You haven't. Wala taqtulu anfusakum. Don't kill yourself. Inna Allaha kana bikum rahima. I'll talk about it in a minute. Allah is merciful. So, we're talking about money, we're talking about economics, and then we're talking about don't kill yourself. You find the greatest self-violence is born out of economic difficulty. You find corruption, you find where people, where there is a society, where there's the very rich and the very poor, there you will find lots of violence and lots of killings. And that's what this ayah is sort of alluding to. It's alluding to the unfairness of human society. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ. Whoever does this sort of business aggressively, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ عُدْوَانًا. عُدْوَانًا is like really aggressively. وَظُلْمًا and unjustly. Whoever cheats in business, فَسَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِ نَارًا. We will throw them into the fire. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And for Allah, that is very, very easy. Very, very easy. Cheating someone is just wrong. Really wrong. You know, many of us are part of social media. And I don't know whether you do, but even when I Google, if I haven't signed in, it tells me I got to sign this. Do I agree to all their conditions? And because I'm getting late or whatever, I just put, I agree. But if you were to read the whole thing, you're really selling yourself. Do you know everything you put on Facebook or Instagram or, I don't know, whatever the places are? It belongs to them. You sold your soul to them. You sold all your information, your children's pictures, your pictures, everything. And then we get 100 likes and we think, oh, aren't I lovely? Oh, no, 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 no. They've just bought everything from you. I don't know whether you realize that, but whatever you Google, suddenly you get an ad on that on Facebook. What you Googled, what you were trying to find, and it just comes up. So this is cheating. You don't know. Don't put anything in small print. When you're talking to someone and doing business, lay it out on the table and say it as it is. Don't put these tiny little clauses in between. Okay, now what he says, Ayah 31. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْحَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُنْكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْهُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. So, if you keep away from the major sins, your first responsibility is keeping away from them, then don't worry, he will cover up all your small sins, and my God, you've got an honorable, a مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا, an honorable place of going. You will find this same ayah in Surah Ash-Shura, Surah Al-Qamar, right? So first responsibility, keep away from major sins. And then automatically, you will focus on refining the smaller ones. This is automatic. Human beings do that. If you don't have big things to worry about, then you look at the smaller ones. Oh, and then this one. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. I mean, don't compare yourself to other people. Don't. You know, لِلْرِجَالِ نَسِيبُ مِمَّا مَكْتَسَبُ. This is what Sayyidah Sakina told Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. She said, لِلْرِجَالِ نَسِيبُ مِمَّا مَكْتَسَبُ. Men will have the benefit of what they earn. وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَسِيبُ مِمَّا مَكْتَسَبْنَا. And women will get what they earn. And she said, what about me? Those men on the battlefield, they got shahada. Women, she said, they are looking after everyone. What about me? I am only 3 or 4 or 5, whatever our age is. Stated. And her father said, you are going to be an orphan and you will highlight the plight of orphans. And therefore, because of you, people will have rahmah on orphans. Okay. All right. So, وَلِنِسَاءِ نَسِيبٍ مَكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And if you want anything, ask him. Ask Allah from his father. Don't ask people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah knows. So here it's also talking about gender roles. This ayah is about gender roles, and it's about, you get, it doesn't matter what you do. Even if you're washing up dishes, you've got a greater thing than anybody else. Stuff like that. Okay. I don't have much time, otherwise I'd love to go into this. وَلِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مَوَالِيَ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. And to every single person, we have appointed heirs of what their, again, parents and your relatives leave. وَالَّذِينَ أَقَدَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَأَعْتُوهُمْ نَسِيبَهُمْ. And everybody, if you have promised your friends or your acquaintances, those who are near you, if you promise them something, then give them their portions. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدًا. Allah is a witness over all things. So if in my 1/3, I have made a promise to my friends, my community, my whatever, then you have to keep those promises there. Oh, and then this ayah, my goodness. Okay, I've got 2 more ayahs, but I've got to do this one. This is the one everybody talks about. لِلْرِجَالِ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men are stronger than women. Men are protectors of women. Men maintain women. Men have authority over women. Okay, why? بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Because Allah said so. So he has made them stronger. They are protectors. Okay, I'm coming there. Don't worry. Don't get really upset about it. It's a good one. They have a financial responsibility. Because Allah said they have a financial responsibility to maintain their families. It is not your responsibility. His money is your money. Your money is your money. Okay, that's how it works. You do not have a responsibility to maintain everyone. They do. Okay. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And he says that here. Because they will maintain you from their wealth. They will maintain their children right up to the end. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ كَانِتَاتٌ حَافِذَاتٌ. Now these women, they are righteous to Allah They are kanitat, they are protecting. This is towards Allah, everything towards Allah. Hafizatun lil ghayb. They protect themselves even when nobody is looking at them, because they know Allah is there. Bima hafizallah. Just as Allah has guarded them. Wallati takhafuna nushuzahunna. If you fear that they will become nushuz. Nushuz is they become now psycho. This is talking about both sides, by the way. Where they scream and they shout and they go completely out of control. When a woman goes out of control, and remember, when I say nushuzhunna, they could be ill. Sometimes people don't recognize mental illnesses. But they could be ill, but they're causing havoc in the home. فَإِذُهُنَّ وَهَجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِئِ. So what do you do first? The first thing you do, there are three stages, by the way. The first is فَإِذُهُنَّ. Get counseling help. Talk. You don't talk to them. If you talk to them, you'll have issues. Get help. Get somebody to talk to them. Okay, that didn't work. وَهَجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِئِ. Then leave their bed. Don't sleep with them. Go sleep on the sofa. Let them understand that you cannot deal with the shouting and screaming every day. If that doesn't work, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. And everybody thinks that means hit them. It's not a physical beating. It's a metaphorical thing. Hit them. Shock, horror. This is what's going to happen if you break this family up. And it's nothing to do with hitting someone. Yasin, daraballahu mathalan. Do you read that? Allah sets forth to you an example. He doesn't say beat them. He said shock them. Make sure that they understand what they're doing. The last thing is to say, you know what, that's it, I'm going. Give them a bit of a shock. Okay, so that's daraba. Because family is the most important organization in the world. فَإِنْ أَتَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. And then if they start being okay, then don't remind them of the past. Just forget it, okay? إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Allah is high and great. It's such an awesome ayah. Such an awesome ayah. But basically, bottom line, it's telling you and me that do whatever you can to keep the family intact. Because that is the basis of everything. And then he says, when kiftum shikak, if you think there is a shikak. Now you all know in shikak, right? In shikak is when the heavens, yeah, split open. When there is an irreparable crack, you can't do anything about it. Bainahima, between them. Fab'athu hakaman min ahlihi. Then appoint someone who is wise from his family, wa hakaman min ahliha, and her family. In yurida islahan. And if they both want to get together, you won't be able to do it if only one side wants to get together. Yuwaffiq Allahu baynahuma. Allah will put them together. If both want to get together, Allah will put them together. Inna Allah kana aliman kabira. Allah knows and Allah is aware. Okay. So, this is awesome. I'm just going to end up with a story, which I heard, I don't know, somebody was saying this. So there was these two people who went to, there was an irreplaceable crack. They were going to get divorced. And they went to the counselor. And the counselor said, well, what is the bottom line? And after all the kerfuffling of in and out and whatever. And the man said that she just insults me every single morning. And the wife is shock, horror. How do I insult you? And he said, every time you lay my breakfast out, you give me the back, you know, the hard bit at the back. And I have suffered this all this time. And you eat the nice soft bit. And the wife started crying. She said, why are you crying? She said, I come from Italy. In Italy, we fight for the back bit. All of us, because there's only two in a loaf. And we fight for it. So all my life, I've given you the best part of the bread. And I took the squidgy soft bit in the inside. While he cried. I'm only saying this story to say that often the greatest problem is communication. I don't think anybody means anything in a lot of cases. I hear so much. I mean, especially during lockdown, we've had lots of counseling issues. And sometimes it's like he doesn't take the dustbins out. Are you serious? Okay. That literally comes down to that. And he said, if I knew, I'd have taken 10 dustbins out every day. But I didn't know that. So these are sort of things that maybe we can look at. This is really detailed section one. Thanks for listening.